and that we're coming into that harvest. I believe that in America, there's going to be millions that are going to get saved. I believe that just in our five-state region of South Dakota, North Dakota, Minnesota, Iowa, Nebraska, there's going to be at the very minimum 1 million new people saved. They're going to be on fire for God. They're going to be full of the Holy Spirit, marked with passion for Jesus, living in absolute purity in their walk with the Lord. And they're going to be walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, miracles, signs, and wonders. God is raising. This is what we're coming into. And we need to know the moment of history that we're living in. We need to know what God is doing in our day and how to participate in it and engage. So, you know, Autumn and I, we're like, let's go. This is just our heart. We've always had this heart. I mean, since we got married, like God's moving somewhere. We look at each other. We're like, let's go. If God's moving, I'm diving in the middle. I'm getting the tattooed Jesus, the Holy Spirit imprint on my heart that I'll carry it for the rest of my life. Our goal is to take our kids with us because we want their heart branded with this impartation of the Holy Spirit. So I encourage you to pray. You know, Holy Spirit, would you have me go to this, you know? And I'm sure it's going to be online where you can watch it for free as well. So if, you know, something happens, you can't go, it doesn't mean you're going to miss out on the impartation. You know, God will lead you what to do. Sometimes you just can't do it for a job or, you know, you have different things going on. But you can watch it online and God is moving. Amen? You know, I wanted to say this today. I titled this message, A Time for Acceleration. This is the season we're living in right now. How many of you know that there are seasons for plowing and just staying steady in the Spirit? Where it's like God is birthing promises in you, but it's not really a season where you're seeing those promises fulfilled, and it's just not what God's doing in that season. And what he's saying, he's like, stay steady, press in prayer, press in righteousness, press in the word, stand on the promises, believe God in faith, be faithful with your 2 talents. It's like, God, but I want a 10-talent season. He's like, you're in a 2-talent season. It's just like, stay steady, work those 2 talents. If you're faithful with the 2, eventually you'll be given 10. Amen? And there's just seasons where it's like, it's a time for just hunkering down, putting your roots deep, and staying steady and grinding it out in the Lord. And that is biblical. We see that in the Bible. But here's what I want to say right now. This is not that season. This is a season when we're coming into a season of acceleration. This is a season of harvest. This isn't a season in the 20 years where God speaks that Isaac's going to be born, and we just keep holding on while me and my, Abraham and his wife, they just get older and older and older. I'm going to keep believing, keep believing. This isn't that. This is the season where the angel of the Lord shows up at your house, and he says, this time next year, you're giving birth to a son. It is the time for the promises to come to fruition. It is a time for acceleration. It is a time for harvest. It is a time to set aside every weight that hinders, lock into Jesus, catch the wave, and ride it for his glory. Amen. This is the season that we're in. We have to seize the moment that we're in. Not just James River Church, but I mean the church in America right now. This is a moment. It is an opportune moment from the Spirit, and we're going to catch that wave. We're riding this wave. Amen. You know, Autumn, I've shared this with you, and we're trumpeting this message. I mean, we just feel like Autumn and I both, God's put this in our spirit, and he's just said, like, however many ways you can do it, say it over and over. The same thing. You don't have to be creative. Just say it over and over and over and over again. This is what the Lord is doing. How many of you know we need repetition sometimes, right? Aren't you glad that God repeats things for us? You know, there was a story in the Bible where the prophet comes to the king, and he says, Lord, he says, behold, he hands him an arrow. He says, this arrow is the victory of the Lord for your nation Israel against her enemies. He says, strike it. And the guy just half-hearted, he's like, oh, okay, God's going to give us victory over enemies. Strike it. Ha ha. I'll appease the prophet. 1, 2, 3. Just half-heartedly does that and hands him back the arrow. And the prophet sees the apathy. And the Spirit of the Lord in the prophet sees the lack of faith. And he sees the unbelief and the apathy in his response. And he looks at him and he says, why did you strike it only 3 times? He's like, because you only struck it 3 times, you had this half-hearted response to the promise of God. He says, you're just going to get 3 measly victories in battle over your enemies. He says, if you would have took hold of that promise and struck it against the ground 5 or 7 times. He says, you would have annihilated them permanently. And we feel like God is speaking, the acceleration season is upon us. The million soul harvest in our region is upon us. And Autumn, I feel it's like it is a time. He's given us that word of the Lord, the arrow. And like, I'm going to beat this thing against the ground until it shatters. I am going to beat it and beat it and beat it until you take it out of my hand and give me a new arrow. Because I believe this with all my heart. I'm going to have a wholehearted response to the word of the Lord. We are going to have a wholehearted response to the word of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. You're going to participate in this harvest. You know, a number of years ago, I'm going to repeat this again. God gave Autumn a prophetic dream. And in the dream, she's riding along on the road and on a four-wheeler. How many of you have ridden a four-wheeler before? You know, how many of you, you know, they don't go that fast. And I've ridden on them, you know, and sometimes I'll get up to that, you know, 40 mile an hour range. But it feels so dangerous to go that fast on a four-wheeler, at least for me. I'm like, dude, this is scary. I'm going crazy right now. I'm going 40 miles an hour on a four, and the engine's going, it's not really that fast, but it's like you're pushing it for all it's worth. And she's in the dream. She's on this little four-wheeler. It doesn't go that fast, but she's maxing it, you know. We're giving it all it's worth. And I believe that was a picture from the Lord of the measure of authority and influence that he's given us in this season of our life, even our church. It's not that big. You know, he hasn't given us a sports car that can go 200 miles an hour. He's given us, you know, up to this point, you know, we have our four-wheeler, whatever it is. But it's like, whatever you give me, I'm going to use it all. All the horsepower it has, I'm maxing this thing out. Amen? And she's going along, and then all of a sudden she looks up in front of her, and from one end of the horizon to the other, there's this giant tsunami wave that is barreling toward her at a rapid speed, and she's going, there's no getting around it. She quickly turns around and starts going the opposite direction, only to look up and see the same thing. There's a second wave from horizon to horizon, barreling toward her, and the two waves are coming together at a rapid pace, and she's caught in the middle. And this thought comes to her in the dream. She's like, this may be God. She knows that these are two moves of God that are about to collide with each other. She goes, this may be the Lord, but I think I'm about to die. It's like, this is intense, you know, and it happens. Boom! The waves crash together. They converge into one, and she's caught up in the center of it. And all of a sudden, she's not just puttering on a four-wheeler anymore. She is flying. She's like flying through the water or flying through the air, whatever it is, and like 200 miles an hour. However, I mean, just crazy acceleration happened when these two waves came together. And then she hears an angel in the dream say this, the name of the Lord is being revived in the land. Do you know what that, when an angel says revival is coming into the land, the name of Jesus is being exalted and proclaimed and magnified in the land. That's the season of acceleration we're coming into. And we believe that the Lord has shown us that those two waves are two movements that are converging together into one movement. It's the prayer movement that's been happening in the earth for a long time now, and it's been growing and growing. You know, how many of you know tsunamis, when they first start, they're little. You know, an earthquake happens somewhere in the middle of the ocean. It's like, whoo, ripple. Little ripple starts going rapid, fast. Whoosh. But as it goes, it gains momentum. And it gets bigger and bigger. And as it comes into shore, and the water gets more shallow, it just gets higher and higher and higher. And the prayer movement, God has been building it. And there is a massive crescendo of momentum that is coming right now. And it's going to go even stronger. And you know, there's a missions movement in the earth that's been going on at the same time. And God says, you know what? All along in my mind, they're the same movement. They're coming together. And it's just one movement. It's like two sides of the same coin. The prayer side, the mission side. And they're coming together. And when this happens, it's happening right now, by the way. This event that we just saw right here is this. It's a picture of it happening. And we're seeing it happen all over the place already. It's already taking place. This isn't something that's going to happen. It's already happening, and it's going to keep happening even more. Mm. So I want to give you four things you can do to catch the wave of acceleration in this season. I'm going to give them to you really quickly so you can just take notes as I go. Number one, get on intimate terms with God. Now, this is a movement of a bride falling head over heels in love with her bridegroom. Jesus is the bridegroom. We are his bride. How many of you know a bride is happy about getting married? The bridegroom is happy about getting married. And it is time to say, you know what? I am no longer one of those people who just kind of sits on the sidelines at church and watches the other people be passionate about Jesus. I am getting on intimate terms with God. I'm not going to be a person who just hears others' stories about hearing the voice of God and great exploits the Spirit does through them and God touching their heart in their prayer life. I'm getting on intimate terms with God. Amen? So you want to catch the wave, do what you got to do to get on intimate terms with God. Everybody say this with me. I am going to be intimate with God. Everybody say this with me. I am not a stranger to him. Oh, say, I am a son. Yeah, or I'm a daughter. Yeah, say it again. I am a son. I'm not an outsider. I don't just visit the family. I'm not a stranger. I am part of the family. God is my father. I don't just admire him from a distance. I know him up close. Say amen. Say, I will be intimate with God. Yes, amen. John 16, 26 through 27, Jesus said this to his disciples. There was a transition coming, and they were in a season of transition. They didn't fully realize what was happening. He says, there's a transition coming in your relationship with the Father. Because up until this point, you've not interacted with him directly. You've interacted with him through me. I have spoke from him to you. You would talk to me and ask me for things. I would pray and do that stuff. And he says, but a transition's coming because I'm going to the Father. I'm going to send the Spirit. And when that happens, you're going to pray directly to the Father. You're going to know him for yourself, not just because you know me, you know what he's like. That's true. But you're going to directly connect with the Father like I'm directly connected with the Father because of the Holy Spirit. And this is what he says. Then you will ask in my name. That's pray. I'm not saying I will ask the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you. Everybody say that. The Father himself loves me dearly. It says the Father himself loves you dearly. Why? Because you love me and believe that I came from God. Do you love Jesus? Do you believe that Jesus came from God? He is who he says he is. Then how does the Father feel about you according to that verse? He loves you dearly. It's just time that we make up our minds that that's true, amen? The Father himself loves me dearly. We got to take this personally. This isn't just for the guy who sits next to you. It's not just for the preacher. It's for you. You have to believe it by faith and step into it by faith, amen? The Father will speak to you like he speaks to me or anybody else. The Father will love on you and affirm you and reveal purpose and identity to you. He will work miracles through you just like he would through Jesus. Jesus is his son. Now through Jesus, you are his son or daughter. Amen? John 15, verse 9, Jesus looks at these same disciples and he says, you know, not only does the Father love you, listen to this. He says, I have loved you. How much? Even as the Father has loved me. Think about that. How much does God the Father love Jesus? Yeah. Is there any love that's greater than that? I mean, the Father, you have children. How much do you love your son or daughter? You know, when your child's born, it's like, even before they're born, when they're in the womb, it's just like my heart is attached to their heart, even though I've never seen them except on an ultrasound. Like there is this amazing bond of love between a father, a mother, and their children. And it's like, how much does the Father love Jesus? Jesus is like, guys, I love you that much. Not a little bit less, the exact same measure. And then he says this, it's your responsibility, remain in my love. See, my love doesn't change for you. It's not up, down, one. It's not like the stock market. It's not like, I love you today. I love you a little bit less today. I really love you today. It's like, whoa, we're kind of going through a low right now. I don't love you quite as much. But then all of a sudden, oh, I love you again. But a lot of times we act like that's how God's love is toward us. But it's not. His love is steady. It's all in, wholehearted, fully ravished heart, just like he loves Jesus all the time. That's how much God loves you. But he says this. He says, my love is constant. He's like, but a lot of times our faith and obedience isn't. And so he's like, hey, my love is constant. It's always towards you. It's always here for you. Remain in my love. Jude 1:21, it says this way, keep yourselves in the love of God. How do we do that? Verse 10, when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things. I love this. Here's what God really wants for you. So that you will be filled with my joy. And then he prophesies over us. Your joy will overflow. It's like, here's what he's saying. He says, you'll be filled with my joy. He's like, do you guys understand how much the Father loves me like crazy? Do you understand how full of joy I am because of this? I mean, just that right there. Even though I'm within 24 hours of being crucified, and I know it. I am filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory simply because my Father loves me with reckless, abandoned, wholehearted love. I'm just so joyful over that, and I love you the same way. I remain in his love. You need to be convinced that he feels the same way about you and remain in his love through believing it and obeying his commands. And when you live that lifestyle of faith, he loves me today. You know, we wake up, how many of you know, we go up and down, our emotions do, right? And it's just that way. I haven't figured a way around that permanently. I'm still working on it, but it's just the way it is. You know, sometimes we just wake up and we're just not feeling it that day. But you know what? What you need to do is walk in faith and not by sight in those moments. You speak it out loud, you believe it in your heart. You say, God loves me today just like he loves Jesus. Jesus loves me just like the Father loves him. And I have joy because he loves me. Whether you feel it or not, when you believe it and then obey his commands, walk in his ways, you know what's going to happen is you're going to have a life of joy that overflows. This is, I would say, one of the biggest keys to catching the wave of acceleration in the season that we're living in. Listen, this isn't a wave. The army that God is raising up right now, this isn't a wave of robots. This isn't a wave of droids who are just emotionless creatures. They're programmed to preach God and do great exploits. It's not like that. There's emotion in it. There's passion in it. It's first and foremost lovers. They've received the love of God and they believe it. They're convinced of it and they've fallen head over heels in love with him. And out of that love, they're like, Jesus is wonderful. And there's something contagious about that. And people hear it and they're like, I want what you have. I want that joy. It comes from Jesus. He loves you. He died on the cross for you. If you obey his commandments and believe this is true, you get to have this joy too. Amen. Settle it in your heart once and for all that God loves you and that you love him back boldly. Say, I am a person who loves radically. Yeah. Everybody, I'm going to have you shout a lot today. Just get used to it. I'm going to have you shout again. Everybody shout this with me. Jesus, you love me. And I love you back. Yeah, say it one more time. Jesus, you love me. And I love you back. Yeah, this is who I am. Amen. Okay, awesome. So how do you grow in love for God? You got to remain in his love. You believe it, you keep believing it, and then you obey his commands. Amen? But I would say this too. Give yourself daily to the habit of affectionate, faith-filled dialogue with God. That's prayer. Throw affection in your prayers. Go ahead, have petitions in there. That's biblical. But throw some affectionate statements in there too. That's a key to a good marriage too, by the way. Don't just say, honey, take out the trash. Say, baby, you look good. I love you so much. Could you do me a favor? Could you please take out that trash for me? It changed your marriage. You know, throw that in your dialogue with God. Do you know that He is a God of affection? You'd be like, God, I'm from South Dakota. I'm a Midwesterner, Lord. And He's like, you know, I know who you think you are, but I am who I am. I am love. I am affectionate. You better get ready because you're around the love bomb now. That's the Father. He's like, you get around me, I'm exploding love all over you. I'm going to speak words of affection. You be, oh, I'm uncomfortable. I'm a man. He's like, you know what? I'm teaching you what real manhood is. Real manhood shows affection. You need to hug and kiss your sons. Yeah, I'm really serious. I'll tell you this. They may be older and it's like, ah, it would be awkward. That's okay. There's only one way to get over awkwardness. You just do it and keep doing it, and eventually it's not awkward anymore. But I'm telling you, they're starving for your affection. They're starving for your affection. They may not say it because the wound comes a lot of times, and they're just cover it up with macho-ness and act like they don't need it. But they need love. They need affection. Kiss them, hug them, tell them, this is what's awesome about you. Even if you tell them the same three things every day, just say, you know what? Sheesh, I know he told you this yesterday, but you're awesome at this, you're amazing at this, and you're gifted at this. I love this about you, man. Amen. How to catch the wave of acceleration. Get on intimate terms with God. And number two, go all the way with God. Everybody say, I'm not half-hearted. Say, I am all in for Jesus. Yeah. You know, Hebrews 12, 1 through 2, it says there, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, I could say this. I could say, since we live in such a massive, epic season of acceleration where God is moving, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. You know, it says two things that you get rid of. Obviously, we know we got to get rid of sin. Can I get an amen? Yeah, I mean, sin is not an option. You can't live in sexual immorality. You can't walk a lifestyle of lying and falsehood and theft and dishonesty and dishonor and sin. You got to get rid of the sin. But not only that, we need to throw off everything that hinders us. Not just things that are sinful in and of themselves, like I mentioned, sexual immorality, you know, drug addiction, alcoholism, you know, all that stuff, obviously, get rid of it, right? But I'm talking about there are things in every one of our lives that in and of themselves, they may not be sinful, but they do slow you down from running full speed in your walk with Jesus. You know, have you ever seen those? I haven't seen them lately, but when I was a kid, they were in. You know, those ankle weights that are like for exercise. Usually like 3 to 10 pounds or something like that. And they're like sandbags or something. And you wrap them around your ankles. You guys know what I'm talking about? Okay. And they just, I guess somehow that's supposed to make you stronger. And you walk around with them and it's like carrying that extra weight. But listen, imagine that you are running a marathon. Would you just volunteer, like, I'm going to run this marathon, and you're trying to run the fastest you can run it, and you know it's going to be long, it's going to take everything you got to complete this race, and you're like, I'm just going to throw on these extra weights, even though they're not necessary. The guy next to you at the starting gate, the coach is like, dude, why don't you take those off, man? You're going to wear out at mile 10. You got 26.2 miles to go. You're going to get a slower time if you even finish. Why? Just take them off. And you're like, well, they just, you know, they're kind of fun. They kind of look cool. They got like sweet emojis on them. And they go with my shoes really well. And you'd be like, dude, take off the stuff it's going to hinder you from running like you need to be running. Take it off. You know, like for my life, since I'd say 20, 21, 22 years now. Very first year I got married, I was in a season of fasting and for God's call on my life. And two things he told me. He's like, Jeff, he's like, for you, gluttony. Of course, that's a sin. But gluttony is an issue for you that will hinder you from being able to finish your race and run like you should run. It's not like God's like, hey, you ate too much sweets today. I'm withdrawing my presence from you. But what happens is this, is when we live a life that's catering to the appetites and desires of our flesh all the time, we can't cater to the presence and the priorities and the agenda of the Holy Spirit at the same time. And so he's like, man, for you, that's a weight that hinders you. You should overcome. You need to learn how to eat healthy so you can run your race well. And then the other thing he says is sports. He's like, sports is a weed in your life that chokes out the life and the fruitfulness. He's like, it's not this way for everybody, so don't take this for yourself. I'm telling you what he told me. His Holy Spirit will be glad to have this conversation with you about you. You know, whatever your issue is, he's going to show you. But you know what? For 20-something years, I'd do good for a season. I'd go maybe a year or two, no sports at all, eating decent. And then I'd get off the bandwagon for a year or two, and I'd just be watching too much sports. So sometimes it'd be a few months good, a few months bad. And I'd just go, and in the seasons where I would be focused and I'd throw those weights off out of my life, I would be unhindered and I would encounter God more. I would hear the voice of God more. I would feel his presence more. Not because he loved me more in those seasons. He loved me the same all the time. I was tuning in more, so I heard more. How many of you know there's radio waves right now in this room, but we're not hearing them because we're not tuned into that frequency? But you know what? If you were to tune into that frequency, you could hear like all kinds of stuff going on, probably from all over the world. You'd be like, oh my goodness, what language am I hearing? You know, there's Russian broadcasts probably going through this room right now and different things. And if you're just tuned into it, how many of you know the Spirit is speaking? The love of God is constant. He's right there. The kingdom of God is within reach, but we have to tune into it. And the more we tune in, we turn that frequency on and give ear to the word of the Lord, the more you'll hear. Amen? And God, throughout the years, especially the last several years, he would keep giving me these dreams about these weights that hinder me in my life. And in the dream, they would be, the imagery he used, they would be bears. So I would be like in my home, and there would be these wild bears that were oftentimes enormous, like a grizzly, full grown. And it would be in my house, and it was wild. I knew it was wild, but it was almost like we treated it like a pet. Like, this is we're on friendly terms with this thing. And a bear, for me, in dream language, when God usually gives me that symbol, it's not always this way in every dream, but oftentimes in these dreams for me, it represents just that carnal spirit. You know, a bear will just like eat anything. It's just like, all right, it'll eat trash, it'll eat meat, it'll eat berries, it'll eat anything, right? And so it's just, that's what it represents for me. And he was like, you have this wild demon. Can you turn off my phone? My alarm. That's my prayer alarm. And it would keep showing up. And always in the dream, I'm like, this is dangerous. And I'd be like, I need to get rid of this thing. I need to quit letting it in my house and acting like it's a tame friend. This is an enemy. At any moment, it could turn on me and I would die. I mean, this is dangerous. Get the thing out of my house. And I've had many of these dreams over the years, and that's always what the bear represents. And then finally, I had in December, I had a dream again, and there was this bear in my house. It was the exact same thing, you know, that I've had over and over again. And this time, I'm like, man, this thing's dangerous. We got to get rid of this. And I'm like, we got to, like, kill the bear. We got to get rid of this thing. Not just, and we put it outside. Okay, fine. And it was just half-hearted getting rid of it. And we were like, oh, but it is kind of cool that we can pet a bear, you know, that's pretty cool. But we're like, it's dangerous. And we put it outside, and instead of shutting the door, we just shut the screen door. And the bear's on the other side of the screen door just looking in. And I'm thinking, this is stupid. That thing could demolish that screen door in no time, any moment. How many of you know a grizzly just knock down a screen door and come in and tear us apart if he wanted to? I'm like, this is, and I feel like the Lord was saying, you're doing a half-hearted response to dealing with gluttony in your life. You're giving me a half-hearted response of repentance. You're not getting, get rid of it, kill the thing. He's like, don't just put it on the other side of the screen door and think there, God. You know, because at any time, it could gain a foothold back in your life. He's like, get rid of it. Kill it for good. And I remember the Lord stirred my heart. He gave me that dream shortly afterward during a Friday night prayer. I was leading worship. And the spirit of conviction came on me, giving me the gift of repentance. And the spirit, and I was just like, I am so sick. I am so sick of giving a place in my life to this thing that is trying to rob me of fruitfulness and that is dangerous. I got to quit calling it my friend and calling it an enemy like it what it really is. I don't want to just put it outside the screen door. I want to kill it, cut its head off, destroy it, decimation, obliteration. I mean, blow it up, whatever I got to do, kill the bear. And this is what I want to encourage you to do. This is a time for acceleration. You don't want extra weights in your life. And what is the thing in your life that the Spirit's been speaking to you about getting victory over for years? This is a season to kill the bear. This is a season to bury it, to put it behind you, and to run the race that is marked out for you. And I want to encourage you with this. There's grace. And what I mean by grace is not grace, you can just continue to tolerate it, no big deal. It is a big deal. It will cost you. It will cost you fruitfulness. I'm not saying it would necessarily cost you your salvation, but it will cost you fruitfulness. But what I mean by grace is, it's like, oh man, but you know, God, I've been off and on for 20 years. What fruitfulness I've already lost. And I feel like he's saying, you know what? He's like, just kill it now. Kill it now and run the race that's marked out for you for the rest of your life. Put it behind you and move forward. So my response to kill the bear, I'm just like, okay, here's what I'm doing. And my wife and I are doing this right now. We're fasting, you know, I'm fasting media for a year. This whole 2018, I've been fasting media. I'm fasting media. I plan on going. I just said a year because that's what I had faith for. But I'm also fasting sweets because for me, that's the trigger that usually leads to gluttony. Usually entertainment, media type stuff, and junk food are like twin bears for me. One invites the other. You know, you can't watch a movie without hot tamales, right? Or a pop, etc., or ice cream, or whatever it is. And I'm just like, I'm killing both of them dead together. And I got rid of it. I'm just done with it. And you know what? I don't even miss it. I don't miss it at all. But you know what I'm enjoying? I'm enjoying God this year a lot. I'm enjoying a season of acceleration in my own life. Amen. All right, number three. You want to catch the wave of acceleration, get all in with God. But number three, love other believers radically. I want to encourage you to immerse yourself in close friendships with other fiery believers. How many of you know iron sharpens iron? What happens, you know, I got a fireplace, when you got like a big lump of coal here, on this side of the fireplace, and on the inside, on the other side of the fireplace, a big lump of coal. What happens when you take those two coals and you put them together so they're close and touching? Whew, fire heats up fire, back and forth until whew, flame comes out. Amen? How many of you guys have seen that before? That's what happens when you're in close relationship with other fiery believers. Let me tell you something. A major key to this move of God is God's kingdom is a family. Solo runners aren't going to finish their race. They're not going to make it. We are called to run with other people. And in case you're waiting for the perfect person to run with who's just like you, ain't going to happen. Because nobody is perfect, including you. And so you're just going to have to learn to love like Jesus loves. You're going to have to learn how to prefer other people over yourself, how to be a servant, how to turn the other cheek, you know, how to like, hey, I forgive you. You know, yeah, I understand. You just had a dumb moment. No problem. I forgive you. Your turn to forgive me tomorrow when I have my dumb moment because it all happens. But you know what? I'm not going to let a dumb moment ruin our relationship. That's dumb. You know, that's one thing about characteristic of unhealthy families is they don't understand. They just let the dumbest little trivial things destroy their relationship. It's like, dude, just like let them have the front seat. It's not a big deal. You know, if they like that mug better, give them that mug and you eat the paper, use the paper mug. I mean, whatever it is, it's like this, let them watch the show they want to watch. You know, it's not worth, like, I'm never going to talk to you again. It's like, are you for real? You know, that's not family. That's the old way. That's the orphan spirit, but you're not that anymore. It's who you were. You're a son now. You're a daughter now. It's time to learn how families work, and God's kingdom is a family. Amen? And so we forgive one another. We turn the other cheek. We give grace to each other. We can speak honestly and openly to one another. You know, like, gosh, when you do that, I don't like it. I'm sorry. I love you. I really love you a lot, and this relationship is so valuable to me, but I feel like when you do that, it makes it hard for me to be around you, you know, and probably there's things I need to fix, but man, what can we do to work this out so this isn't something that's separating us anymore? Why? Because we fight for our family relationships. They're worth fighting for, amen? How many know family's not perfect? Not in this age. Family's not perfect, you know what? But we can learn to love. And the way God trains us to love, one of the primary ways, is he puts us in family. He gives you your dream wife, your dream husband. And you think, oh, I found my true love. And then like the first week, you're like, whoa. I didn't see that in you before. And they're thinking, man, I didn't see that in you before either. And here's the deal. That's when God's like, yeah. Well, God's like, no, it doesn't mean you throw the relationship away. You don't say, oh, I was deceived. You lied to me. You made me think you were awesome. You know, it's like, no, it's like, it's not that at all. It's Jesus is like, listen, this is how all of you are. It's time to grow up and learn to love. It's time to learn to love. You're going to have to change. They're going to have to change. You're going to have to, like, you're frustrated because they're not changing like you think they should change. You're like, God, they're not changing. I'm changing. I'm doing everything I need to do, but they're not changing. You need to talk to them and tell them what I've just told them 50 times, but they never listen. But you need to tell them and make them listen. And he's like, hey, look at me. Look at me. Learn to love. I'm going to teach you how to love. Turn the other cheek. Serve them anyway, just the way they are. But Lord, they hurt me again. And every time I do that, they hurt me again in the same way. And he's like, love me again. Love me by serving them. Turn the other cheek. Bless those who curse you. A gentle answer turns away wrath. Don't respond cursing. Don't respond cursing for their cursing. When they curse you, speak a blessing. And it's like, God, that's not fair. They need to be put in their place. You don't expect me to just sit here and just feel emotionally beat up all the time. And what he's doing is he's training you to be mature in love. Because the greatest ones in all the kingdom of God are those who love well. Amen? This is family, and we're the family of God. And you, if you want to catch the wave of acceleration, you need to lean in to your family relationships in the body of Christ. And you need to immerse yourself in those close friendships. And sometimes, here's the problem. Sometimes it's like, I want that really bad, but I don't know how to do it. I don't know anybody. I just showed up at this church, and I don't even hardly know anybody here. But here's what I want to encourage you to do. Let me ask you this question. If you are in love with Jesus, you're a fiery follower of Jesus, and you're willing today to lovingly welcome a new friend into your circle, just hold up your hand right now and keep it up. Say, I love Jesus, and I'm willing to welcome a new friend into my circle. Keep your hand up if that's you, because I want the rest of you to look around. These are the people that you can go to. My hand's up. These are the ones that you can go to. Don't wait for them to come to you. You take the initiative and go to them. Go ahead and keep your hands up again. Look around. Now, keep your hands up. Look around and do this. If that's you, it's like, man, I need some godly friendships that I can get close to. I want you to look around, and if you're a guy, pick out a guy in the room right now that has their hand up. If you're a girl, pick out a girl. And after this service is done, I want you to take the initiative. Don't be like, God, if it's really you, send them to me after service. No, you go to them. Okay, you can put your hand down. You go to them and just say, hey, I saw that you would raise your hands. Here I am. And here's what you should do in response when somebody comes up to you. I'm really serious about this. I'm hoping these conversations are about to happen in a few minutes when we finish service here. Here's what when somebody comes up to you, immediately welcome them enthusiastically. Everybody smile. I mean, big, a big one. It's okay. Just practice. Okay? Make sure one of those are on your face. Okay? And just smile and say, you know what? I'm so glad you came to me. I was hoping and praying that God would send one of those to me, because this is a great opportunity for me to gain a new friend. And you know what? I am going to be so much more blessed because of you being in my life. And then immediately set a time to get together with them as soon as possible. Hang out. Go play. Chad's going to play Ultimate today. What time?
Come on, bring it, everybody.
What time?
Let's start at 6, because it never actually starts at 7.
Okay. 6 p.m. at the park right here next to the library. We're going to be playing Ultimate Frisbee. So this should be like, hey, let's go play Ultimate today. Or if you're like, I don't play Ultimate Frisbee, that's not me. Just be like, let's go to Dairy Queen today. Or watch Ultimate Frisbee and cheer on Pastor Jeff. You know, let's just like set up a time. Invite them to your Bible study or discipleship group. Start making a friendship with them. Welcome them in. Amen. This is a season. Listen, I'm telling you, this is a season. A key to the acceleration and the harvest that God's going to be bringing in is joy-filled community of believers that love God and love each other radically, like family. You know, one of the things that, how many of you guys enjoyed the Circuit Riders last week? Yeah? You know, one of the things that I learned from them that really stood out to me is I saw a group of people, and I was with them for like 5 days. I saw a group of people that were so excited about Jesus. All of them. I mean, there was just they carried this culture with their group. They're like, they just were in love with God. I'm like, you just couldn't be around them for too long. You're going to be excited about Jesus. Because it sucks you in. Their excitement about him was just, it sucks you in. But you know what I also noticed about them? They really had fun together, and they absolutely loved each other. And I'm talking, I'll give you a few examples. Autumn was meeting with one of the girls when we were at the USD outreach. And you know, they've been on the road going from campus to campus around the nation for 4 months. It sounds fun, but it gets tiring. Traveling in these little cars all over the country. I mean, how many of you went to Washington, D.C. in that van, right? It's good. They've been doing that for 4 months. You got a hotel room. And you're like, man, I had, you know, I'm not saying you did this, but you could have possibly been thinking, oh, I got to share a bed with this person. I don't even know this person, you know? But they're sleeping on couches and on floors wherever they can find space, you know? And one of them was talking to Autumn, like, Autumn's like, hey, how'd you sleep? And they're like, oh, they're really happy. They weren't complaining. They're like, well, not that good. You know, they're staying in dorm rooms where they can be squeezed in into these dorm rooms with somebody on dorm couches. Just say, not cool. Those aren't the fluffy ones from Slumberland, probably. I mean, those are the bumpy ones that have been jumped on by college students. And they're like really uncomfortable couch I was sleeping on. And, you know, but God is good. And then one of their teammates is right there. And she's like, oh, man, I didn't know that's an uncomfortable couch. And you're not getting sleep. They're like, hey, I got an idea. Volunteer. They're like, tonight I sleep on the couch. You sleep on the bed that I got so that you can get a good night's sleep, because you need a good night's sleep. And then the other one's like, no, I don't want to do that, because then you wouldn't get a good night's sleep. I'd rather just not get a good night than you. And I'm like, "This, who are you?" But you know what they're doing? They're doing Philippians 2. Prefer one another above yourself. See, the everybody else in the world, they're like, hey, you slept on the comfortable bed last night. Tonight's my turn. It's fair. It's only fair, and everybody wants fair, but they're not seeking fair. They're seeking to serve. And they would do this. They were just filled with love. They would be sitting in our living room last Sunday after church. We go over there and we're getting ready for dinner, right? Lunch. And they're sitting in there and some guy just gets on our piano and starts plucking out these Disney cartoon songs. You know, these Disney movies, like random songs like from Tarzan, the Disney movie Tarzan. And the whole room, they're just singing whatever the song is. I can't remember how it goes. And they're just having so much fun and just laughing and joking. And I'm like, these people love each other. And it's like Jesus is right in their conversation. And here's what stood out to me about them, about all that. And they had this childlike faith. And I felt like God showed me, I'm like, these people, the community and the love that they have for each other, it's like a vortex that just, if anyone gets around them, it's going to suck them right into that culture of loving Jesus and loving people as family. It was powerful. And the Holy Spirit just put it in my heart. He's like, listen, when my people love each other and me like this, they are a force to be reckoned with. And I knew, I'm like, man, if that kind of community, family, happens in your neighborhood, in your city, people are going to get saved. Because people see that and it's attractive to them. They're like, I want to be a part of that. I want to be part of a group that likes each other and it has fun like that. And it's like, yeah, it's Jesus. And like, okay then, I love Jesus, you know, and therefore I love you. And it is an evangelistic machine, that kind of community. And it's going to be a key. I believe that's exactly what Jesus was talking about in John 13 when he said this to his disciples. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Listen to this. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So you want to catch this wave of acceleration, you got to love other believers radically, not from a distance. Change your schedule, get around them, get involved in their lives. Don't just show up, you know, I'm not saying this like to condemn you or anybody, you know, it's okay, there's grace, I'm not worried about that. The point I make is, don't just show up late, 10 minutes after church starts, and then as soon as it ends, whoosh, out the door. I mean, get to know people. Go do Bible studies and discipleship groups during the week. Go out to dinner with people and study the Bible together. Go out to lunch. Go get ice cream. You know, whatever you want to do. Go get a Coke at McDonald's. They're only a dollar for a large. It's a pretty good deal. Just go there. Open your Bible. Read it. Have fun together. Pray. Get to know each other as friends. Amen? And then finally, number four. I believe if we're going to catch this wave of acceleration, we need to talk openly about what you see Jesus doing. Talk openly about what you see Jesus doing. So tell me, I'm not just saying share the gospel message everywhere you go. By all means, do that. You know, I'm totally, yeah, on that. But I mean, talk about the stuff you see Jesus doing now in your life. Talk about the testimony you heard that he did in your brother or sister at church or in your Bible study that week. Talk about what happened during worship when the Holy Spirit showed up at prayer meeting. Talk about it openly, everywhere. I see that one of the keys to every revival throughout history, every move of God that gets people on board, is God starts moving and people are so fascinated by the works of Jesus and what he's doing, they just start talking about it and there's this buzz that gets created in a community. And they start hearing about, dude, did you hear, like, you know that guy? You know how he's like totally an alcoholic? He's like totally says he's done with alcohol. That's crazy, man. He's all about Jesus now. As you know that girl? Like, she always showed up and she had that limp. You know, she didn't have a limp anymore. And she says, Jesus healer. It's like, what? Do you know that stuff is happening in Huron? Right? It's been happening. Talk about it. I'm going to be quiet. Don't just talk about it to believers. Talk about it everywhere you go. You know, don't people talk about what they did on the weekend at your workplace? Like, they show up and they're like, dude, what did you do this weekend? I just watched Netflix all weekend and ate hot tamales. You know, whatever it is. It's like, what did you do this weekend? It's like, man, tell them what God did in your life. Tell them what you saw Jesus do. Say, I was at worship service. It's like, oh, that's cool. You went to church. I'm like, yeah, I didn't just go to church. God showed up It was amazing. I felt the presence of God. Okay, that's cool. Yeah, like he told me he loved me and it melted my heart and it's just the thing I needed to encourage me. Whatever it is, it's like, oh, it doesn't seem like a big deal. It's a big deal. If it's a big deal to you, I promise you there's somebody around you that experience is the same thing they're longing for. Tell me if you see a pattern in these verses. Then Jesus returned to Galilee filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him spread quickly through the whole region. Next verse. Amazed, the people exclaimed, "What authority and power this man's words possess," because they saw him cast out a demon. "Even evil spirits obey him and they flee at his command." And the news about him spread through every village in the entire region. Luke 5. But the news about him was spreading farther, and large crowds kept gathering to hear him to be healed of their illnesses. Do you see a pattern? I could have given you tons more verses, but it's like this with revivals throughout history too. At first, it just starts small. You know the Brownsville revival? Probably over 1 million people got saved. And the ripple effects from those people in the millions have been saved. Do you know how it started? It started on Father's Day 1995, where the Holy Spirit moved in power in a church service where there were about 1,000 or so people that got touched. The whole world didn't even know about it. 1,000 people knew about it. But their encounters changed their life so much, they got so excited. They're like, I want to experience that again. So they're like, we're gonna do this again tomorrow night and see if he shows up the same way. And they were so buzzing from their encounter with God and what they saw God do. You know, they go to their family members. They're like, man, you got to come to church with me tonight. They're like, why? You know, I don't really feel like going to church with you. And they're like, no, this isn't like normal church. God is here. They're like, okay, yeah, that's great. No, God is here. I'm telling you, God is here. Like, this different than everything. And they're like, okay, man. It's like, no, I'm telling you, you've got to come. This is awesome. He knocked me on the floor. I was there for hours. I had a vision. I saw an angel. God healed all these wounds in my heart that have been there. And he told me all this stuff about my life. I am so filled with joy. My depression's gone. It's like, and they're like, wow. And at first, they're like, whatever, you know, some Jesus freak. Until the next person. And they're at the gas station. And the person's like, oh my goodness, do you know what God did to me last night? They're like, what? Man, I went to this church service and God met me. They're like, okay. They're like, no, seriously. Like, I felt so convicted and I was addicted to drugs. I was addicted to alcohol, but it all left me. And now I just feel the joy of Jesus. And I just can't wait to go back and feel this presence more and more. And I don't have the addiction anymore. They're like, wow. And then 3 weeks later, another person there at the grocery store says the same type of testimony. And all of a sudden, there's this buzz swirling in the community. And all of a sudden, the third or fourth testimony, they're like, something's up in our town. Something's going on that's unusual. It's not usually like this. I'm like, I got them curious now. If nothing else, I just got to go check it out. And then they go there. Boom, they get sucked into the vortex and they encounter the Lord and now they're going sharing their story everywhere. I'm telling you, the revivals throughout history, they start with a small group, but then the buzz of the testimonies of the Lord begins circling and it creates this buzz. And even sinners are talking to each other. It's like, is something up with Jesus in our community? I mean, are you just meeting people? Now, that seems funny to us because we've not experienced it here. But I'm telling you, this is what happens. I've experienced this in small measures in different places. It's what happened in Jesus' day in the Bible. It's what was happening in the book of Acts. It's like, are you for real? That Peter's shadow was healing the sick. And every time that their church would meet, people from surrounding villages would bring all their crippled and lame and sick and diseased and demon-possessed. And they would bring them and line the streets up to the temple where they knew Peter would be walking because there was such a consistent power of God flowing from him that they would get healed just when Peter walked by them. The presence of God would heal the person. How did they get to a point of faith where they said, man, if I just show up and bring my crippled person and lay their stretcher on the road when Peter walks by, God's going to touch them. They're going. How did that happen? They didn't just get that idea. It's because they kept hearing the reports. And then at first it's like, wow, it's just a weird coincidence. And then it happens again. They hear another story and another. And they're like, something's up with this. I got to see if it's for real. And they go and they experience it themselves, and the boom, exponential multiplication. You are in a full-fledged, accelerated move of God. Listen, this is what we're coming into. And get into the habit of just testifying. You don't have to share the four-part plan of salvation. I mean, do it. I love that. Do that for sure. But just talk about what Jesus did in you today. Even if it's just like, man, this morning I was reading my Bible, and I read this one verse that just really encouraged me this morning. And say it. Just talk about the works of the Lord in your life and that you see Him doing in others. Let's get a Jesus buzz circulating in our city. Amen? Talk about Him on Facebook. Now listen, I didn't say argue about Him on Facebook. Don't talk about Him if you're just going to argue. We have too many of those voices already in the world. Testify about Him with joy. This is good news. Amen? Yeah, testify about what the Lord's doing. And when the person gets mad at you in their comments, don't get mad back. You know? If you don't like their comment, just quietly hide it and delete it. And just keep testifying about the joy of the Lord and about the things He's doing in your life. You know, testify about Him in your neighborhood, at work, at school, at the park, in the library, at the restaurants. Let's get a Jesus buzz going. Everybody stand with me. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for you. And then I'm going to take about 5 or 10 more minutes. I'm going long today. You're welcome. I'm going long today because I want to talk about the conference that's coming up, and then I want us to pray together for grace for our body for this conference. But before I do that, I want to respond to what we talked about today. Are you willing to fully surrender your life to Jesus? Are you willing to say, you know what? I'm going to quit thinking of myself as an outsider. God loves me just like He loves anybody else. I'm getting on intimate terms starting today with the Father. And I'm going to walk in this for the rest of my life. I'm going to talk to Him this afternoon. I'm going to enjoy Him this afternoon. And I'm going to imagine Him smiling at me when I'm doing it. Are you willing to go all the way with Him? Set aside the sin and everything else that entangles you. Full surrender. Are you willing to start building those close friendships into your life? You know, it takes time, but start doing it. Investing in it. It'll happen. Are you willing to just start testifying? Just tell what you're happy about with Jesus lately. If so, just hold up your hands to the Lord right now and surrender as a sign of surrender. Just say this to Him. Just say, Jesus, I fully surrender to You and Your leadership in my life. Holy Spirit, fill me up. I receive You right now. Thank You that I'm being filled. Thank You that I'm drinking deeply from Your presence. Could you just have that conversation with Him? What's the main point that He spoke to you today? Is there that one thing that it'd say, I'm laying this down, I'm surrendering? Or if it's maybe that person that annoys you, that says, you know what, it's time for me to get over being an orphan. I'm brother, I'm a sister, I'm family, I forgive them. I love them. Mwah! I love you. So you know, I'm going to quit being macho. I'm going to start actually voicing the affection I feel toward my children, toward my wife, toward my spouse, toward my brother or sister in the Lord. I'm just going to say, you know what? You're awesome. I've thought that for a long time, but you're awesome. Just talk to Him about that. I believe learning to love, it starts at home. So many times, you know, we we start with people outside of our home, and it's like, but to me, the big measure of love is if I can learn to love day in and day out with the people who I have my guard down around. Yeah, bring this contagious vortex culture of love and community and excitement of Jesus. Make your family that. Amen. It starts with you. Just say, I'm going to be this. I'm a thermostat, not a thermometer. Amen. We change culture. We set culture. I don't react to the culture and just blend in with it. Oh, if you don't love me, then I'm not loving you. It's like, no. That's the old way. You have the Holy Spirit. You have love in you. You don't need love it from them. You got it coming from within. You can love anyone at any time. Yeah, Father, I just say grace to myself, every person in this room, to walk out the sweet resolutions that we just talked to you about. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, here's what I want to end with. You can just keep standing. I want to talk about the Gathering the Generals Conference. We already talked about that. And, you know, I feel so privileged. And my wife said this too. And honey, if there's anything on your heart, you're welcome to say stuff. But here's what I feel. You know, God, I believe that this conference, it's not the only by far. There's so much God's doing in our region right now. And he's using so many different things and seminars and conferences and prayer meetings that are going on. I mean, tons of them. But I believe that this is going to be a significant moment for the acceleration of a move of God in our region. I truly believe that. I'm not just saying that because it's my conference that we're doing. You know what I mean? I actually feel that in my spirit. I don't like to hype. I just like to speak truth of what I actually feel. I actually believe this with all my heart. This is a Kairos moment, an opportune moment of, and I'm just marveling. I'm like, God, we're a church of like 80 people. You could have chosen anybody in the whole 5-state region to host this thing and run it and maybe do better than us. You know, I mean, you could have chose bigger churches with bigger buildings, with bigger, more people. I mean, you could have done that, but it's like, God's like, I'm choosing you. You're going to be my Bethlehem. I'm choosing you. And I just feel so privileged that he would choose us to host our region. We're going to have people here from many different states all over our region, you know, tons coming from Minnesota, all kinds of places in South Dakota. I know we have someone coming from Iowa, Nebraska, North Dakota. I haven't heard for sure yet. I'm still praying that we would hear for sure from North Dakota. We got a guy coming from Wyoming. We had one lady, somebody contact Autumn via email, and she, I don't even know where she's from, but she was like, what's the closest airport that I should fly into to come to the conference? And we're like, where are you coming from? You know, how did you hear about this? But just, this is, God is on this. And he's like, he could have chosen anybody in our region, but he chose us. And I just feel like, let's put on the grace for hospitality and let's serve our region and let's just pour out our affection upon them and serve them sacrificially. Listen, here's what's going to happen. We're going to feel tired at times. You know what I mean? There's going to be things that don't go perfectly, but it doesn't matter. It's all about our attitude, amen? And if we're just like, you know, it's okay. I'm going to serve and give my best, and I'm going to just bless you. And here's what I know. This is the way the kingdom works. When we give, to the measure we give is the measure we receive. And I believe that God's going to bless us. 2 Timothy says this, the hardworking farmer, any farmers in here? Yeah. It says the hardworking farmer should be the first to eat the fruit of his labor. Amen. I believe we're serving and they're going to encounter God and be blessed, but we are too. Amen. God is a cheerful giver. And so let's ask God for the anointing. And here's what's really in my heart. Number one, the anointing to serve like Jesus serves, to love them like Jesus loves them, sacrificially, enthusiastically serve, even retired. When we're working together and somebody may say something, you're like, they kind of are just giving me orders, barking at me a little bit. Try not to do that. But if they do, just know it's okay. Turn the other cheek. Love them. They're just in a tense moment. Just keep going and understand like you would want understanding if it were you. And just keep going. You guys with me? And we just learn to serve together. We learn to be team. And then I'm asking, secondly, that we'd be able to do this in such a way that when it's all said and done, we could take our take our service to the Lord during that weekend, and we could all together present it to the Lord as an offering of worship that would be a fragrant incense. Wouldn't that be the best? What if we could serve in a way that he says, you're not just serving my children, you're doing it unto me. I received this personally. So I want to let my wife share, and then I'm just going to really quickly, I'm just going to pray for that grace.
Okay, there's some of you that have wanted to know. Many of you are involved in some way. You're a greeter, you're usher, you're working at a registration table. Someone's bringing food or on Friday or something. And we'd say, first of all, seriously, this is a moment. I am looking every one of you in the eye and saying, I appreciate you so much. There is no way one person or even a group of four or five could host a region. No way. And I appreciate you. Jeff and I love you so much. We're so proud of you. Like, I am so proud. Like, hey, this is my family. You know, I am proud of my family. Thank you. And I want to tell you, unless you're wondering, do I have permission? You have permission. I'm just going to tell you right now. You have permission. If you're not a greeter and you're not wearing the little vest, you still have permission to greet. Please do. My goal, my dream, I kept seeing it in my mind, is like every guest has five people at least coming up to them saying, where are you from? I'm so glad you're here. Oh my goodness, you're from Iowa. We've been praying for Iowa. I mean, every person, you have permission. You are a minister. You're representing Jesus Christ and you're representing James River Church and you have permission. You have permission to pray for people. There is enough anointing to go around. You're going to get blessed. We can give, right? We can give. There's going to be enough for us too. Jesus is got endless supply. I am expecting that out of this body, the Lord's going to give you words for strangers. Encourage, encourage, encourage. Just know the most powerful thing you can do is give an encouraging word to another brother or sister. Share with somebody a scripture. Don't let anyone, you know, when we have ministry times and we're over in the event center and we say, you need healing, raise your hand. JRC, you better be running to those hands to pray for them. You have permission. You are anointed by the Lord for this moment. As a body, we have, I'm believing, the grace of God for hospitality. Hospitality looks like hugs and loves and prayer and words of encouragement. That's what it looks like. So I am already so proud of you guys. We have so much anticipation, and we're going to pray and bless you and just say thank you so much for being so enthusiastic about hosting our region. It's exciting.
Yeah, amen. Like, your guys' faith is contagious to us. Yeah. It really is. So we're just so proud of you. We're a team. We're family. We do it together. Amen. So let's pray. Father, we receive the anointing of the grace to serve enthusiastically, in the power of the Holy Spirit, the way that Jesus serves, that Lord, Jesus is going to wash the feet of the saints in our region through us. So, Father, my hands are your hands. My mouth is your mouth. Speak your words of life through me, God. God, my arms are your arms, Lord. Father, I love you. And Father, here's this is our biggest prayer request. Would you help us to serve in such a way that at the end, together, we would be able to give this to you as an offering of worship. That we would be able to give it to you and say, this is how much I love you, Jesus. This is how much we love you. We love your children because we love you. And that it would move your heart and you would remember it forever and relate to us accordingly. In Jesus' name, amen.
Register if you haven't, and there's posters, extra posters in the back. So if you have somewhere you have to stick up a poster, grab it. I mean, this is the last week, so stick it up around town